T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Oh, hi!
Ken Lowe.
What do you guys think of that intro? Huh?
It's high energy.
Huh?
It's high energy.
All that snow today?
The snow flurries.
Hell, it was downright sunny when I left my house.
Literally all morning. At my house, it was just sunny. It wasn't even wet. It was just sunny. I was like, what?
Mike likes it wet.
What?
When I woke up this morning, there was a...
Who doesn't?
There was a light... dusting isn't even... Touche. Dusting isn't the right word.
Something other than rain?
Yes. There was a remnants of something.
Snain.
Yeah, if you will. And then around 10 o'clock... There was about a 30-second window where I felt like there was a wintry mix, and then the sun came out, and it was beautiful.
Great day.
Yeah.
Big day.
It was a solid day. I don't know about big, but, you know.
No, it's a big day.
Is it?
Yeah. Tuesdays are big here.
There is a lot to get to. Plus, yesterday was a kind of turn and burn.
Yeah, we only had a two-hour show yesterday, so we've got still have some NFL playoffs to cover.
Yep.
We've got LSU winning.
I have to make my 12-part apology to LSU fan and the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, you called him a pretender.
Didn't think that that was going to happen. About a quarter into that game, I was feeling pretty smart.
Did you see the latest Larry David video?
I don't believe so. I saw where he was, the Jets laughed at him, or was it the Giants, because he was telling the GM to draft Lamar Jackson.
I think that might have been the Jets.
It was one of the New York teams, and I don't remember which one, but Larry David claims that he... was telling them to draft Lamar Jackson, and they were laughing at him.
There's a video of Larry David, who was in L.A. Attending his new season premiere.
Sure.
And he gets out of it, and it's in the evening sometime because it's dark.
Yeah, okay.
And there's a bunch of autograph hounds, and he totally dresses them down.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's like... But here's what's interesting about it is he gets after him. He's like, what are you doing? He goes, nobody wants this. This is so annoying. F you all. Like, I mean, he tears him up.
Yeah.
And they're like, Larry. And then he goes and signs their, he begrudgingly signs all their stuff.
My favorite part.
One guy goes, hey, we've been waiting here for 7 hours. He's like, you're an idiot.
My favorite part is Larry David is... It's a toned down version of him, but he is.
He's like that.
He's like
but
that.
But this wasn't funny. Like, it was, he was pissed. Yeah. He was like, he said, stop it. It's so effing annoying. He said, no one wants this. Why do you do this? And then he signs all their stuff and leaves.
God bless Larry David.
He's great.
He is wonderful. The world's a better
and
place
I think,
with Larry David.
Doesn't that show start soon? Maybe this Sunday.
I think this month.
This Sunday.
Yeah, it's got to be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. Do you know what we have today?
What do we got?
Well, besides talking about the college football finale, or is it finale? Eh,
tomato, tomato.
Oh, the dog.
Oh, the great Dave Bartu.
He's coming on.
Oh, yeah, the dog.
We talking Cougs?
Yeah.
They slipped that one underneath the radar a little bit
night. They really did.
Like, I don't remember who had it. Was it McMurphy? Someone broke it on the sidelines.
It was McMurphy.
Yeah, McMurphy broke the story while standing on the sidelines at the national championship game. That guy's an animal.
So Bartu is going to come on at 4. Yeah. We're going to call him at 4 because we have some other stuff to cover this hour.
And we'll see if he poo-poos this, but just because...
Yeah, you know, Nick Rolovich is who they hired.
Yeah, he's got the analytics, but when I saw that, I was like, dude, great hire. Rolovich led a pretty impressive turnaround at Hawaii. He's a younger guy. The system is fairly similar. You know, run and shoot, air raid. And so it's not like you have to have a complete transformation of personnel. And he's used to doing more with less. No program has less resources than Hawaii. And if you can find a way to win there, I thought it was a real good hire on the part of Washington State. And Rolovich was with me in Denver. Couldn't be a nicer guy, by the way.
Yeah, I thought you had a connection to him.
Yeah. Well, he was the quarterback my senior year when we were undefeated and we were going to be the first BCS buster. He was Hawaii's quarterback when we went there for the final game and they laid 72 on us.
That's right. You guys were unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
And you went out there.
We were like sixth in the country, something like that.
Was it like 77-30 or something like that?
No, we scored 50, but we lost by 3 touchdowns because, well, they scored 72. Yeah. They were.
And he was their quarterback.
He was their quarterback. Huh. And so when we both ended up in Denver, that was the first thing we talked about is how bad our defense was. And couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Did he agree, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, that was so easy.
Oh, he was making fun of our defense left and right. It was fantastic. I ended up
Did he say recruit more black guys?
No, but it is funny that they did talk about our white DBs because we had a similar thing. We played Tulane in a bowl game.
So he did say that.
He did say that. But he was a little more coy about it. But do you remember Sean King? He was a
quarterback for Tulane?
For Tulane.
Yeah.
So we played them in a bowl game, and they laid like 60 on us as well. We gave up a lot of points.
That was the playoff game where you – wasn't that where you guys all melted down in the huddle?
No, that
was
Chad
Pennington.
That was Chad Pennington and undefeated Marshall. You're getting undefeated Marshall confused with undefeated Tulane, both of which kicked our ass. But I ended up in Tampa with Sean King, and when he found out that I was on that BYU team, the first thing he did was he started laughing. And he goes, oh, my God. He goes, the best thing ever was – your nickelback was this little white guy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that, dude. And he goes, anytime he came in the game, we would audible the toast. And that just meant whoever he was on would just run a go route. And he goes, we would just throw it up, and we called him toast because he was white and we were going to burn him.
Sometimes football is that simple.
Yes. Anytime that
hey, there's a white guy, throw it over the top.
Yeah. Toast, toast. And that just literally meant just run by him, and I'm going to throw it up. And I thought that was fantastic. Anywho, Rolovich, good guy, and I think this is a good hire for Washington State.
All right, so if you guys want some Coug talk,
yeah,
bar two, we'll wrap up the college football playoff as well with him at 4. But in the meantime, we sports hard. I just learned, I was listening to Mike's sports snort there, and Mike was saying that Joe Brady is already gone.
Yeah, that didn't take very
from
long.
LSU.
Yep, he's going to go to Carolina, where Matt Rhule is going to make him the offensive coordinator.
Because he came from the NFL, right?
Yeah, he was an NFL guy. He was in New Orleans, and so this was his first year in LSU. And you know, he probably doesn't want to recruit. Plus, he's going to get more money and you know take a crack at the NFL again if that's where your roots are at. And this is the problem. Well, there aren't many problems with winning national titles, but you know, I sent this out the moment I saw it. I'm like, go ask Nick Saban. When you have success, it's hard to keep a staff together. This is just kind of the nature of the beast. You hope that it would be more than 1 year, but and when you go and you know, by depending on what metric you want to talk about, you have arguably the greatest offensive season in college football history, and you largely get the credit for it. Yeah, you're going to be in demand.
Yeah, but don't you think like the SEC is on another level on with coaches too? It's like when they have a lot more turnover, those successful schools like Alabama, Georgia, LSU, you know?
Yeah.
And they just reload.
Yeah.
Right. Like they reload like they do with talent. Whereas out here in the Pac-12, it kind of feels like, man, you lose a good coordinator, there's no guarantee you're getting a good coordinator to follow them up.
Yeah. It's tough.
You know what I mean? But there it's just like, oh, you know, it's like the Joe Brady, here's the point. LSU has won 3 titles in the last, 10, 15, 20 years.
I think 07 was the one under Saban, and then I don't remember when Les Miles was.
So that's 12 years. They've won 3 titles with 3 different head coaches.
Yeah.
The SEC, that just is never going to happen in the Pac-12. It's just, it's like the SEC is just at a different level when it comes to not only talent, but coaching.
Sure. Well,
and they get the best of the best. So it's like, so Joe Brady leaves.
And they're going to pay.
That's right. Joe Brady leaves. LSU's going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're going to find somebody good. If Oregon's offensive coordinator leaves, it's like, man, you better get this right.
Oh, so
which is why Oregon still hasn't hired a guy.
Saban's was in 03, Miles was in 07, and now Ogeron's in 2019.
So that's 16 years. Three titles.
16 years.
With three different coaches.
Yep. And finally a...
Think about that.
And finally an offense.
Well, also...
There was a really good article today.
Yes.
The Pro Football Focus?
Yes, where they were talking about Brady and like how it all came together for LSU.
And it was just
It was great.
It was a great look at how they modernized this offense and just how everything changed, everything from the increase in RPOs to, it was a really, really deep dive into what exactly they did. Because remember, Chase and Jefferson and Burrow, they were all there last year and the offense was...
They weren't that good. They lost to Troy.
Yeah. And then they came in and they, they weaponized this thing and completely changed it. And, it kind of was the basis of the personnel packages that they went to. They stopped going underneath center. Only 3% of all snaps came underneath center. I think last year it was like in the 20s. The RPOs more than doubled. The run efficiency game, they are more efficient. They gain more yards per rush than half of the FBS teams do throwing the football. All based on this RPO scheme and vertical threats.
And that's all Joe Brady.
Yeah.
That's what he brought. By the way, they lost to Troy 2 years ago. So that was 17.
Okay.
My bad.
And Brady wasn't even calling the plays, by the way. He just was the passing game coordinator and kind of brought those concepts in.
Dude, it's pretty amazing to think about what LSU did. Like when you go all the way back to them hiring Ogeron. Mm-hmm. A lot of people laughed at that.
Well, he was of a...
You can do better than that. You're LSU.
And remember, he flamed out at Ole Miss, and he wasn't good enough for SC, and he's got the Cajun voice, and people...
Well, he should have been good enough for SC.
Exactly. But. And they were doing the Farmer Fran thing, the water boy, and it just was viewed as it's the retread hire, and no one... Because he's a CEO type. He's not building an offense. He's not building a defense. And no one really... No one gave that thing any sort of respect. And here you are a couple years later and the guy's the face of the entire state.
Well, I think the face of college football right now.
Sure.
Him and Joe Brady. I mean, it's amazing what they built. It's like you make a hire that a lot of people are like, the public opinion is the end all be all, far from it, but you just made a hire that's like, it doesn't really impress a lot of people. And then they're okay. They're good, but they're not great. And then you just find this Joe Burrow kid. How that kid didn't crack the lineup at Ohio State is beyond me. He is sensational.
He wasn't that good last year at LSU.
Well, that's right. So it's like all of a sudden he turns into the best quarterback we've ever seen in college.
Yep.
And he had the best season we've ever seen in college. All of a sudden, then you hire Joe Brady to totally flip the script on your problems all throughout the last, 20 years, even with titles, you haven't had an offense.
Nope.
And now you set records with him and Joe Burrow. And then all of a sudden you've got this running back that no one can tackle. And all of a sudden you look at these receivers and go, holy crap. Where did these guys come from? Like the confluence of things that occurred to make this what it was is really special. Not a lot of people 2 years ago could have seen this coming, and they just went 15-0
and beat the top four or might have been even top five.
They had seven
teams.
Yeah, and they had seven top 10 wins.
Yeah,
they beat four of the final top eight.
And by the way, they didn't just beat them. And look, and this is my fault. In my mind, I had a hard time accepting the fact that this was LSU, or again, the defense wasn't that great. And I just always thought that eventually that was going to come back and bite him in the ass when they played in Ohio State or at Clemson. But the LSU defense has been pretty good the last couple weeks. And they were really good against Clemson, and Clemson's a hell of a football team. But think about it. I guess they didn't roll Alabama because they couldn't stop them defensively, but they put up 46 on Alabama. They put up 37 and only gave up 10 against Georgia. Oklahoma was an alley whipping of galactic proportion, 63-28. And by the way, you just took the defending national champs who hadn't lost in 2 years. You took them behind the woodshed 42-25, and it wasn't that close.
Yeah, they pretty much backdoored the title. They don't deserve it.
Well, one dumbass here didn't think that they were going to do it. I thought that Ohio State or Clemson would beat them because they were more balanced, but when you watched them play defense, which is puzzling because all year you knew they had talent, but the defense was, somewhere in the 40s. It wasn't that great. But last night,
top 20. We went through this the other day. They were top 20 defense.
I don't.
Well, we just did it. I'll go double check.
Double check that, will you? Because you know, I remember watching them play Texas. I remember watching them play Alabama.
Clemson was top five in both.
That's
a product of their schedule somewhat. LSU played, I mean, one of the toughest schedules in the country. They were the number one offense still.
And their DBs did not allow Clemson's receivers, who were as talented as anyone in the country, to get separation. They were harassing Lawrence. And that Patrick Queen was the best defensive player on the field. The guy was everywhere.
Let's see. Yards per game, 27th.
Okay.
LSU's defense. And then scoring defense, which is points per game.
Yeah.
LSU was, yeah, they were 29th.
Okay.
So they're top 30.
Top 30.
So again, split the difference.
Not great, but boy, they showed up. They showed up when they needed to.
Well, they got a lot of talent on that defense. And when you have an offense like that, I mean, it's just, they're unstoppable.
Yep.
Like they just, so let's, do you want to talk about it or?
Yeah, we can.
Do you want to, like, we have a bunch of segments today. Did you think we should talk about it or?
Probably. And I'm trying to lick my wounds because it cost me a bunch of money last night.
Yeah, I was rooting for you. Like when it was 17-7, I thought about you and I thought, man, Sooke's got to be feeling good because you had a Clemson to win the title.
Yeah, after they had that close one at North Carolina, everyone just assumed that Clemson was going to not make it, that they were going to trip along the way, and I got really good odds and I put down my biggest bet of the year on Clemson to win the national title.
You hate to see it.
Right there.
Well, let's say
a new leather bag was definitely in my future.
You weren't really right there.
You were three quarters away from it, and it quickly crumbled.
Well, after one quarter, I felt really good about that
wager. Yeah,
it
looked good for a while.
And then Trevor Lawrence decided to overthrow your dreams.
It was kind of like the Texans-Chiefs game.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. Well, they just, LSU looked confused, and...
Any way to get your money back, or?
Well, I mean, no, but it's like, I would have won a couple grand, but I didn't bet a couple grand. So it's one of those where you're out a couple shekels, but it was more of what you could have won versus what you lost.
Should have hedged it.
Yeah, I didn't.
You could have.
I could have, and I didn't. I decided to roll the dice.
Could have got another leather bag out of the deal.
That would have been my best futures bet of all time.
Those futures are really hard to hit.
I know.
You know, I mean, they're just, especially like to win it all.
Yeah.
They're just, a lot of things have to happen. And you know who the odds on favorite is for next year?
Clemson. Yeah. Well, they're going to be
followed by Alabama.
Well,
and shocking.
And then Ohio State, and then LSU.
True story.
And then Georgia.
It's the easiest sport to predict in the world.
Those two teams are on such a different level.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
But Lawrence really did look.
He sucks.
He just looked bad.
He sucks. I hate him. No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about it next. 317 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sooke on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. 1080thefan.com brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Will has added a little something to today's poll question to spice it up. A little whimsy, as you like to say.
I like putting a little whimsy in my life.
Did LSU just polish off the greatest season in college football history? Yeah. Get out of here, or Sooke wears a small straw hat while at home.
Why a small straw hat?
I don't know, but that's winning.
Okay. Well,
I voted for that too.
I do wear hats, but I don't,
I don't know what that means. Like small straw hat. What does that mean?
I don't know. Like a Huck Finn sort of hat.
Is it saying like you are kind of like a Bayou guy and root for LSU or something, or?
I don't own anything LSU, but
I did a little homework today.
Uh-huh.
I saw a show on Cajun and Creole.
Yeah.
Do you know like the difference?
No, I don't.
I don't think many people do.
I unfortunately probably very naively just lump it all.
Yeah. And most of us do. And it's because we just, I mean, like you say, it's,
yeah,
we call it ignorance, call it naivete, whatever you call it. We don't often distinguish, but we should, and we'll do that later.
Okay,
but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I honestly know nothing about that, and I haven't spent a lot of time.
I love it down there
in that part of the country. I've been to New Orleans twice.
Yeah, New Orleans is great,
but I just, outside of that, I just haven't spent much time down there.
Well, somebody wants a throwaway segment from us because we were too sportsy in our first segment.
That was very, very sportsy.
And that's a fair point. So perhaps our throwaway segment at some point here will be the difference between Cajun and Creole.
Okay. I'm on board. I do like the food. I mean, I'll give you that. That's about the extent of
some of that.
Of my culture. when it comes to
all right
that area.
Well, that
it was a pretty it
was phenomenal.
It was. You can certainly put it up there with the greatest seasons of all time.
I mean, best season I've ever seen with my own two eyes, and I have two of them.
It's
and they've been LASIKed.
It is really, really impressive when you that is
so
true.
Maybe I have like 2.5.
You got supervision.
Yeah.
Like it's funny that, and I just don't know, like as I watched this season roll on, if I thought that this was like those 96, 97 Nebraska teams or the Miami teams. And a lot of this honestly is going to be what happens to some of these LSU players, because I think there is some revisionist history that you go back and you think about how loaded some of those Miami teams were.
Well, wait a minute though. I think we've got two different things going here. Greatest season is different than greatest team.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess I was thinking this is along the same, you know, putting them in the same lines, but
I don't know that they can. I mean, I just thought, I don't know, you'd be way better at this than I would, but like those old Miami teams or whatever, I don't know that this team is as good as those teams or as talented, but I don't know how you could argue that this wasn't the greatest season. They set offensive record. They scored 700 and some points.
Yep.
They beat 7 top 10 teams, and they polished it off with the Heisman Trophy winner beating what many people thought was the best team
handily
in Clemson, and they hammered them by 17. So it's like, what? I don't know what else you could do in a season to say that you had the greatest season in college football history. What more could they have done?
There's really not a whole lot.
Beat Texas by more?
Yeah, I you know,
had a better defense, I suppose, statistically.
I guess if you wanted to say that,
it wasn't as dominant defensively, but
sure. Like you had close ones against, you know, Auburn. You had a close one against Texas. You had a close one against Alabama. But now you're nitpicking. I hate doing the.
Is that recency bias at all? Maybe
there might be some of that, and the way the game's played now and pace of play. You know, you set more records. I hate doing the, well, this is the best thing that I ever saw, or this was better than that, comparing different eras. This will go down as one of the greatest seasons of all time, and it's up for each individual to decide whether this one was better. Like, to me, Vince Young had the greatest season I've ever seen. Vince Young and what they did that year, and that they beat USC, which was probably the best college football team at the time that I thought I had ever seen.
Were they undefeated?
They were undefeated. And Vince,
without the national championship game, you could probably argue that was the best team you've ever seen.
That USC team was unreal, and they got Vince Young'd. Well, it didn't help that Reggie Bush just decided to, you know, throw the ball away. But yeah, they got Vince Young'd. He single-handedly beat that team. Cam Newton, I think you can make an argument. The year he had is kind of like what Burrow did, right? You storm through the SEC, you win the Heisman, you win the national championship.
But didn't they lose one?
No.
Or were they undefeated?
No, Auburn, I'm pretty sure, was undefeated as well. I don't think Auburn lost. Now I want to go back and look at that. But what,
I got you, boo.
What Burrow just did, I mean, you can't,
and that's the other thing.
You can't make an argument against it. You can simply say that, oh, maybe in my opinion, this one's slightly better, but there's nothing that LSU did that could diminish the claim that this is the greatest season of all time.
Right. And that's the other thing is Burrow just kind of puts a bow on it. Like that guy, he's as close to perfect at the college level as you've seen. Like he makes the right play all the time, like every 60 time.
60 touchdowns, 6 picks.
And he's got legs.
He runs, he's tough. And he looks really kick-ass smoking a cigar afterwards. That was a great shot of him in full pads, leg cross, lighting a fatty.
He drops the ball on a dime.
Yeah.
He doesn't force it. He can run. If you give him any time at all, he will kill you.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't know how you pick them apart. But, I mean, you know, we can debate that another day. But
it's really difficult
to find
to
out
do
fairly
so
quickly in the NFL if the gap is going to be that different for him or if he's just going to slaughter them too.
The only thing.
But he's going to a bad franchise. So
they've got good players there.
Yeah, but we've seen bad franchises kill.
Sure.
Kill good careers. Yeah. I don't know that. Look, I feel like he's transcendent enough. I think he's special. I don't know if you believe in the it factor, but I kind of do. And I think he's got it. And it shows. But it's only 1 year. Like, he wasn't that good last year.
No.
So he's had 1 year. Yeah. So if he goes to a bad franchise, will he come back down to earth? You just watch him play. I feel really, he looks like Andrew Luck to me.
It was really impressive.
He's just really, 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 really good at everything. And I think he's transcendent enough to buoy a franchise. So I think he's going to be great at Cincinnati. And depending on who, you know, like how the Bengals do, if they, I'm assuming they're drafting him.
Sure.
But if, depending on what they put around him and the coach that he gets hooked up with, he could be greatness, you know, but it's just that a lot of that's dependent upon who's around him, but he's got it, man. I don't know what else you want out of the kid.
No. And by the way, Cam Newton, that they did go undefeated that year. He threw for 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, ran for 1,520 touchdowns.
Yep. Gene Chizik.
But those are, Cam's was almost to me.
Being great is really expensive.
And this is why, like, if you're talking about individual seasons, Cam to me, this LSU team was better than the Auburn team. I feel like Cam was more of just a one-man wrecking crew, whereas...
Well, they had, is it Farley?
Yeah, they had Fairley? Nick Fairley.
Nick Fairley.
On the defensive side of the ball, but it wasn't loaded with this. When you look at LSU and you look at their offensive line, won a national award. Now, Pro Football Focus had Oregon as the best offensive line, but they won whatever the national award is for best offensive line. You've got an NFL tight end in Randy Moss's kid, which did anyone else think that's, again, it's just, you're like, what? Randy Moss's kid? And then you've got three NFL wide receivers on the outside. I think that's a way more talented team than what Cam Newton had to work with. But that doesn't mean that it was a better season for Auburn. I think it was maybe more of an individual effort on the part of Cam Newton. But what Burrow and LSU just did is one for the record books.
Well, and their offense is just,
it's a different offense.
It didn't matter where they got the ball. I mean, early in the game, Clemson
confused him.
Brent Venables is a really good defensive coordinator, and it did look early like, oh man, anybody who, like, you and I were both on Clemson, it's like, I think we were right about this. I mean, you felt good about it early, but they all said, like, once we figured out what Clemson was trying to do, we were fine.
Midway through the second quarter, I have not seen a Clemson team look that flustered, sorts, that gassed.
And
the pace in which that game was being played on both sides. I love how people were booing that guys were cramping. My God, the ball was being snapped seemingly like every 12 seconds.
Those teams are on such a different level.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the speed in that game and you think of the cute little Pac-12 and you're like, oh my God, there's just studs all over the place. But LSU's offense, I think what's interesting about it is we talked about this Friday with Joey Harrington, and Joey, you know, turned out to be right, at least with this game, in a sense that we went back through and we looked at the top five, any top five offense that's played any top five defense in a title game.
Defense has always won.
The defense was 5-0, yep. And that's just kind of this old adage. And LSU just flipped the script on that. I mean, because Clemson had the number one defense,
yep.
And they had studs all over that defense. And it's just, and they just made them look silly to the point where that's another thing that makes this one of the better seasons ever, if not the best, is just how they did it offensively. Like, this is game changing stuff. Like, I don't know what Joe Brady's got going on upstairs, but it was brilliant. Whatever he brought, I don't know how they found him. He was like a 28-year-old assistant to an assistant with the Saints. Like, how do you find that guy and know that he's got the right sauce? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Joe Burrow falls in your lap and he wasn't highly recruited and then couldn't crack the lineup at Ohio State. Ed Ogeron's like this kind of third-tier hire.
Farmer Fran.
And they put it all together for this greatness. It's just really, really special.
And, then,
and that offense is just so fun to watch. I mean, that running back, what's that kid's name?
Edwards, is it Allaire?
Edwards Allaire.
Allaire.
He cannot be tackled.
He's like a little bowling ball.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Well, and can we talk about, no offense, but I remember when they were handing out the finalists for the Biletnikoff Award, and I get it. I remember, Beaver fan being upset that Hodgins wasn't on the final, and I kind of went back and forth with some people who were pretty pissed, and they were like, well,
I thought he was a finalist.
No, he wasn't a finalist. Michael Pittman was a finalist for it. It was, Lamb, the kid from Oklahoma, Michael Pittman, and then Jamar Chase.
God,
and
he's so good.
And no offense to anyone out here, Hodgins is a great player. That's you saw something special. Oh, and by the way, on the other side, Justin Jefferson.
Wasn't Jefferson amazing. Considered their number one before the year too?
Yeah.
So their number two is the better receiver.
Well, think about it. He can't even go pro right now. He's a true sophomore. I mean,
he's coming back there?
He's got to come back. Well, not because he wants to. He doesn't have a choice. You have to be 3 years removed. The guy's a true sophomore. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson had 111 catches, and technically he's their second best receiver because, well, Chase.
So
there was no answer for either.
Top five offense, shredded the number one defense for 628 yards.
Yes.
You want to talk about a statement and put on the end of a...
And it honestly could have been worse had they not necessarily... I mean, they kind of took their foot off the gas at the end because they didn't need to. Eller was just like kind of laying down, right? He was just running on. He was like, I'm just going to slide
But
down
he was still
here.
Gaining 10 yards
still
every time.
Still gaining 10 yards a carry.
And we thought he had broken ribs at half and he wasn't going to play. Yeah. Second half.
Well, that and the hit that... that they put on the I forget what Clemson receiver was.
It was T. Higgins, right?
No, it wasn't. T. Higgins is the one. He got it in the leg. The other guy, number three.
They basically got bent in half.
Oh, when
I was surprised they didn't call that defenseless receiver. Yeah, considering
when you get hit like that, though, like that's one of those when I watch where I'm like, I'm really glad that I don't play football anymore because like that hurt his ancestors. That was it's just like there was no injury there. You know, it wasn't like. You know, you broke anything. You just curl up in a ball and you realize you just got hit by a truck. And you're like, I'm just going to need a couple minutes here. So just.
I was watching it with my wife and she even commented. She goes, this is way more violent than all the football we've watched this year. Like that game in particular was just.
It's interesting.
Insanity.
She said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because she's like, you know, well, she's watching two great teams go at it.
Yeah.
Flying around.
And remember,
players.
It was a 3-point game in the third quarter.
I know. Well, think about this too. Let's do this, and then we'll come back and talk more about it. But think about if that ridiculous PI call on 3rd and 19.
Yeah,
remember that?
I do.
Terrible, terrible play by the Clemson DB. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't do that, Clemson gets the ball back before the half, and they have a chance to maybe take the lead 24-21. Or kick a field goal and be only down 21-20 at the break.
Could have been a different
they
game.
Got 2 3-and-outs to start the second half for LSU's offense, and Clemson scored on its first drive of the second half. So if you go look at the end of the first half, that 3rd and 19 PI was critical to LSU taking an 11-point lead. And even then, Clemson still battled back.
Look, it's one of those where clearly LSU was the better team. No one can argue any differently. But if that game is played 10 times, it doesn't go like that 10 times. I think Clemson wasn't as good as LSU, but Lawrence couldn't have played any worse. And you're right, there were a couple funky things that went against them. LSU wins 7 of those, maybe 8, but there is not that much difference between Clemson and LSU. Well, but on that night, boy, there certainly was.
If What's-His-Nuts doesn't fumble, late in the game, it was like 4.5 minutes left.
Lawrence?
Yeah, they get it to 10.
Yeah.
10-point game. Does that look different to you?
And then the horrible PI call, you know,
on the touchdown. That's right.
I kept waiting for that Clemson moment, which we've seen so many times the last few years of, oh, well, here they come, right? It's going to be the third or fourth quarter, and they're going to be able to get back in the game, and it just couldn't stop them.
Yeah. All right, we will come back, talk more about it. Dave Bartu on Washington State's hire coming up at 4. It is 3:35. Here's Mike with Sports Center.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, look at Dusty Hera contributing to our show.
What's Dusty up to?
Well, he texted me because I was talking about how this all came together for LSU is really a great story.
Speaking of cocaine and staying up all the time,
it was Blow. Blow fueled it all.
All right.
He said, I guess he read an article of The Athletic. I didn't see this article, but The Athletic did an article about how they found Joe Brady because Joe Brady was just like this. Young assistant coach with the Saints. And I guess Ogeron asked Sean Payton if he knew anyone who could come talk to their staff about RPOs, and Payton sent Joe Brady. And so after that, I guess Ed Ogeron said, we got to have that guy. That's our guy. And so they hired him. And now, by the way, if you're just tuning in, Joe Brady is now leaving to go be the OC at
Carolina.
LSU just gave Joe Brady a big raise, but Carolina must be backing up the truck for him.
Sure.
So he's going to be the OC under Matt Rhule. But anyway, that's interesting. But LSU's awesome. I didn't think that would happen that way. I really didn't. I thought it would be a great game, close game. And, you know, somebody texted in and they brought up a good point. They were like, you know, it ended up being a 17-point game, but I think it was a 3-point game when the linebacker was ejected for targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have deflated Clemson to the point where it ended up looking a lot worse than maybe it could have been.
I just think it, and I get it, but at the same time, I think one, Clemson was gassed. I think LSU's offense just ran them to death. And then two, they were not going to win with Lawrence playing that way. I'm not trying to sit here now and start the pick apart, because already that's begun with people being like, well, I don't get generational talent. Anyone could win with that team and blah, blah, blah. But he did not look good at all. Mm-mm. I don't know if there was something wrong with him, but if you watched him throw the ball, I swear, every ball that he threw, I made the analogy, it was like watching a little kid try to shoot a basketball for the first time, where they have to use their whole body and two hands. He was, it looked like such a labored effort to throw the ball to the hash on the outside, and everything was high, and he was skipping the ball. That was a horrific football game that he played. So I don't know if that was pressure. I don't know if it was LSU getting to him. I don't know if he was injured and we'll find out something, or the moment was too big. I don't know, but they were not going to win with Trevor Lawrence playing that way. Not with Burrow basically playing a perfect game after, you know, the first, you know, quarter when they figured out what Clemson was doing.
You kept thinking that Lawrence is going to wake up.
Yeah, and he never did.
And play better. But you got to give LSU's defense credit.
Sure.
I mean, they really spooked him. And remember, you know, Burrow's 23. Mm-hmm. Lawrence is only 20.
Yeah.
We forget he's a sophomore. And he struggled a little bit this year. I mean, Lawrence is great, but he definitely had a horrible game, and he even said that after the game. He's like, "I played terrible."
Yep.
So,
and you're not gonna you're not gonna beat LSU with him playing that way. So, and that's why I said if that game is rewound and you play it 10 different times, LSU wins the vast majority of those. They proved that they were better. Yeah. But
that's true. But I'm just saying there are a few things that happen.
Sure.
That it's like, oh man, that really hurt Clemson. The PI on the Clemson touchdown was ridiculous.
Yes.
The offensive PI. They should have had 7 points there.
Yep.
And then the targeting call. I mean, what do you think of that stupid targeting rule?
I hate it. I've said it for years since this thing has been adopted. There needs to be two separate targetings. There needs to be targeting with intent, and there needs to be incidental targeting. And I don't know what you want. If he doesn't dip his head there, he ends up going helmet to helmet. There's just some times where you can't slide your helmet to the side. I absolutely hate that a player in the biggest game gets ejected for that.
Horrible.
There are that needs to be a judgment call where you go upstairs, and it's like in the NBA they do this, right? Flagrant one, flagrant two, correct? And what's the difference between a flagrant one and a flagrant two? It's all up for interpretation. So why can't we have it up for interpretation? If you want to throw a 15-yard penalty on that, sure. But to kick a kid out, and too many times, and this happened with Ohio State against Clemson. Too many times you have key players being thrown out of games for incidental or non-malicious helmet-to-helmet or targeting calls. And that's
stupid.
It's dumb. It
and don't
needs
they have to sit
addressed.
Out the first half of the next game,
yes.
too? Which is also, like, if there were another playoff game.
If there was another playoff game, you'd be out of the
horrible.
First half for that.
Just for that one play.
Yeah.
That I'm with you. That needs to be changed. But they were Pac-12 refs, so how do you think they did?
Well,
Pac-12-y?
Obviously, there was a couple, like Ilaire had the one where his hand was clearly out of bounds and they didn't buzz down on it.
Yeah, why didn't they review that?
I don't know. I mean, I know LSU was going fast, but boy, it sure looked like he was out of bounds. Turned out his foot wasn't, but his hand was. And then the PI call kind of, you know, reared its ugly head. The targeting call, I guess by the letter of the law, that's correct. So I can have a problem with the rule. I can't have a problem with the call, but... You know, overall, I don't think it was a horrific job, but the pass interference call in the biggest moment like that's unacceptable.
All right. Odell Beckham was handing out cash, and why can't they just, I don't know, why was it so long? Can they not, does college football have anybody like getting together to get them to shorten their games?
Worst idea in college football is that the clock stops with a first down.
Yeah, nobody's.
But they don't have
that.
Anybody... You know what I mean? Like, there's no governing body to look at this and go, yeah, here's what we need to do for the game. You know? We'll get to those items next. 3:46 on The Fan.
Wow. Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next, 8 Bar 2 of College Football Matrix and the nation's leading expert on coaching hires in college football. It's what he does.
Actually, it is what he does now. Well, that and grow hemp.
He got Mike Leach hired at Mississippi State.
Well, my.
See, Dan Mullen, that hire.
Dave has some influence on that, too.
Yeah. Huh? The tentacles of Dave.
Puppet master.
Yeah, so Nick Rolovich hired at Washington State. We'll get to that next. So how long was that game last night?
4 hours. First half alone was over two. I mean, it was brutal.
Four effing hours. They got to do something about that.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Somebody texts and they're right. The Blazers game started at 7 and finished about 10 minutes after that game. The college game started at 5.
Yeah. And I wonder how many people tuned out because it wasn't much of a game at the end.
So well, the half, I felt like it was when they went up 28-17 at half, I didn't feel like it was over, but I feel like, this is weird because it was just 17-7. Now it's 27. And then the halftime took 8 hours.
Yep.
It felt like.
And then they got
And so I kind of wanted to turn it off.
But then they got the 3 and out, and then they went down and scored, and you're like, oh.
Well, they kept you around, but I'm just saying, like, they gave me every chance to turn that off.
It's far too long. They need to do something. Like, everyone always bitches about Major League Baseball. Football, especially college football, needs to do something because you're right. It's just.
And they have nobody, like.
No.
All they have is these conferences that are all looking out for their own selves. Well, so it's like they have no governing body.
And that's why it's hard to get anything, pushed through in college football because, like you said, each conference can basically do what they want to do. There's no one big,
so
solid
stupid.
Governing body.
And how about Odell Beckham handing out cash to the kids after the game?
Yeah, but he was handing out cash to the kids that, wink, wink, that doesn't have any eligibility. So, like, Jefferson could take cash. Chase couldn't. I'm sure he didn't take any
cash.
Did
he do that on there? Did you see what LSU said?
No.
They said the cash was fake.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no. I don't think that was. Why would he be handing out fake cash?
A bit? I don't know.
What? I don't believe that. I believe that was real cash.
I don't really believe it either, but I guess you'd have to go back and look at the video.
The one I saw was they just said that he was handing out wads of cash to players that are graduating.
That
had used up their eligibility.
So he made sure to not hand. So if he hands cash to somebody who still has eligibility.
Yes. That would be a violation.
Like right there.
I'm looking at the photos. That looks like real cash to me.
Oh, I'm sure it was. But the LSU is claiming that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to lie, right?
Yeah, I'm looking here. You see it was actually fake money. Okay. Now people are doing like in-depth investigations into this.
The internet's not going to let this go.
No, I'm going to watch the Sempruder film here and see whether or not it was legit. Hell, I don't know. Either way, like supposedly the players that he was handing it to were out of eligibility, so it doesn't matter anyways.
And they were all smoking cigars in the locker room.
Yeah.
And they know how to party down there.
And they had already been fitted for rings.
I love that.
Well, I guarantee.
Isn't that normal though, don't you think?
I don't know. I never played for a national championship. But I will tell you that.
Well, did they fit you for your Tampa Bay ring before you guys won it?
No.
It was after?
It was after. Now, I will tell you that. If you are going to win a national title, is there a better scenario than you being from Baton Rouge and being in New Orleans?
No, not at all.
The
Bourbon Street must have been so fun last night.
Well, did you see Barstool had a couple of reporters on the street and they were talking to LSU fans?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It was. They had no idea what was going on.
No.
They interviewed one guy. He's like, when did you know the game was over? I don't remember most of it. I just know it was awesome.
Then he found the Ohio State fans.
Yeah.
Like, third best team! Third best team!
We're number three.
That was
We're
so good.
We're number three.
And
hey, Oregon ended up number five.
Yeah, they did in the AP.
Yeah.
LSU, that stadium is crazy. And not I'm not talking about Superdome. I'm talking about LSU where they play.
Yeah.
Tiger Stadium.
Sure.
And I guess they haven't lost since they started selling alcohol there.
Really?
Because those people all just get wasted anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But they started selling booze in the stadium, and they are undefeated since. So
alcohol, is there anything that it can't do? And we learned which one is the true Death Valley, right?
Did we?
Well, I mean, LSU has the bragging rights.
Why does that mean they're the true Death Valley?
They played at the Superdome.
So they get to claim it. They've got the ultimate claim on Death Valley now. They won,
they won the game
in the national title.
They didn't. That game was for the Death Valley
that
rights?
That was for the Death Valley rights.
That's it.
Well, they had a fun one. Was it?
That's it?
ETN.
So Clemson wins the national championship, but LSU wins Death Valley?
That's right. ETN, the running back for Clemson, did you see? He's from Louisiana. And I guess his family was like getting death threats. But I guess when he committed, he was between Clemson and LSU, and he put on the Clemson hat and said, I'm going to the real Death Valley.
I did see it. They showed that last night.
Yeah,
they
showed it last night.
Yeah, whoops.
And apparently that didn't go over well with some of the Louisiana faithful.
And can we
by the way, why didn't Clemson keep going to that guy? He was their best player, and then just seemingly they were just like, yeah, I'm going to stop giving him the ball.
I don't know, man.
That guy was a machine.
The Joe Brady, Joe Burrow with the cigar and the Big D Joe hat.
It was great.
Somebody gave him a hat that said Big
Joe,
and he wore it.
Yep, while smoking a cigar.
So he's sitting. I'm sorry, that is so cool. That dude is sitting in the locker room with his in full uniform.
Yeah.
With a Big D Joe hat, smoking a cigar with his legs crossed after the national after going 15-0 in the national championship.
Yeah.
Find me something cooler than that.
I'm guessing later in the evening when he probably went home with a couple 9.5s. I'm going to say that was probably the peak Joe Burrow. Well, they said time and time again that he I love how they
he's not short on confidence.
Yeah, I love how they were just they stopped short of just calling him a cocky bastard. They just were like, well, yeah, he can be.
But he didn't. He seemed pretty. He said the right. Like in the interviews, he doesn't come across as super cocky.
But I guess.
But they certainly alluded to the fact that he very much is.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, Dave Bartu, Washington State has hired Nick Rolovich as their head coach. Is that a good hire? We'll talk to the Matrix. 357 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.